A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 208. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with co-host Guy. We've had a busy bloody week. It feels like what we're excited about talking about on the podcast today is a proper, like, behind the scenes of what's about to come on the channel very soon.
Yes. Do we start with the golf balls? Because you tried some golf balls that are very, very intriguing, and people listening and watching this podcast will see that video this week.
Yeah.
Could they change golf?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's some golf balls that I've tested this week, or last week. The video's coming out, like Guy said, tomorrow. And they're quite, they're very expensive, to be honest with you. More expensive than the Pro V1. And the claims on the box, and a lot of brands claim the better than the Titleist Pro V1, etc. For the first time, possibly in history, there might just be a ball that actually lives up to said claims.
Wow.
So I also played with that golf ball.
You did?
On a video, Break 75, coming up very soon, and actually golfed that ball pretty well.
I'm not a fan of the term golf.
I know, I hate it.
Do you golf? No, I play golf. No, but the thing, it's a bit of a broad... We've gone quite into this podcast quite quick. How's your weekend?
It's been busy. It's been a bit hectic. I'm still kind of licking my wounds now that I'm a super hardcore football fan again.
Again, from August to December, then you quit.
Before I fully know we're out the title race, it was obviously the Manchester Derby, and United got absolutely demolished. I watched the match. I actually went to Old Trafford a few hours before kickoff and took the kids to the Superstore because we were watching a play locally. Long story short, we walked to Old Trafford. My little boy, like my eldest girl, and we're there walking, and it's like, come on, this is it. Like, this is Old Trafford. Look at it. Look at it. And you actually look at it and you go, oh. It does look like it needs a lot. It needs knocking down and starting again.
Yeah, well, I won't be opposed to that.
But what was really nice, got to go and go to the Sir Bobby Charlton tribute. That was really nice. Obviously, the kids didn't really have a great deal. And to be honest, bar watching clips on social media, we didn't live in Sir Bobby Charlton's era. So I don't really know how great he was. But when you...
One of the best ever.
One of the best English players ever. When you actually read the accolades and look at the how highly recognised and respected he is amongst his peers, it was really fitting just to go to his tribute and just to be able to kind of see the love outpouring from the United fans. Went to the Superstore.
Yeah.
Ended up buying football shirts. And in a week... Now, everyone in my family, bar my wife, who will refuse to wear one just because she's not really into football. Now, me, which we'll come on to in a minute, and my three kids all have official red Manchester United shirts.
Do your kids know that Man U are rubbish?
Yeah, no, not yet.
Do they know that Man City beat them 3-0?
Yeah.
Do you not feel harsh, like, making your kids support a team that are rubbish? Let them support City.
No.
You're a glory hunter. You should allow that.
No. I'm a diehard. Cut me and I bleed red. I think that's a fact.
Yeah.
And it's funny because one of my little boy's teacher at the moment teacher from last year was a big City fan. And he kept coming home, can I get a blue kit, daddy? And I'm like, no, we don't have blue kits around here. So anyway, I've hopefully at the moment managed to brainwash them until they realise that, yes, Manchester United aren't the team that used to be. But until that point, they're in red. And not only are all my kids now red United shirts, last week, as a team here at Rick Shields Media, we actually participated in I don't want to call it a tournament because that makes it sound too...
Well, it was just us playing, so it wasn't a tournament.
There was 10 of us in the business and we did a 5 versus 5
five-a-side
football match.
We call it 5-a-side, us footballers.
Five versus five. I like to... I'm just catering for our US fans.
Right, okay. Soccer.
5v5. And it was good, wasn't it?
It was good, but there was two things that I have to point out. Firstly, and I did preempt you with this before we played football, my soccer skills are horrendous. I would say my handicap. I've never broke 100. Let's put it that way. I've never broke 100 in golfing terms.
I think you're mid-20s.
Absolute best.
I think I'm 18 at absolute
you
best.
You talked a good game beforehand.
Yeah, but I just need to get into
and
it.
You're okay.
We're back again tonight. We're playing again tonight. So I'm ready for this. But then there's a lot of lad, like Matt, who's the podcast Matt, who's back to this week, who literally doesn't like football one bit. He's like a single figure handicapper.
Yeah, but he's very fit. So he can just run around and he's good. Annoyingly good.
You got a horrendous blister.
Yeah, so I had to play football in golf shoes. I got some boots on the way, which I'm happy to say, but my fitness was horrendous. I'm okay at running like a medium to slow pace for okay-ish distances, not far. But football fitness is another thing, and I'm very stiff still a week later. And I'm kind of, in a way, looking forward to playing later on, but I'm also not.
You'll be fine. Yeah. It'll help you get rid of your stiffness. I bought a football shirt as well, and I couldn't believe how expensive it was.
Because you went and got standard Rick Shields. You didn't buy the normal one that the normal people get. You got the player's edition.
I didn't even know the difference. It's long-sleeved, granted, because I felt like I looked a bit cooler in long-sleeved. £120. It's not the shorts and the socks.
It's outrageous.
I bought them this weekend at the Superstore. But just for the long-sleeve shirt was £120.
It is. It's obscene. And again, it kind of leads us back into that topic we were talking about, these LA golf balls. Everybody knows that golf is expensive. Football's expensive. The whole world seems to be expensive these days. But golf is known as an expensive sport. But every now and again, a brand comes around, which I don't mind this, actually, that charges a fortune for something. And I think it's hard to get into our heads sometimes, because I would never pay $70 or 60 odd quid for a dozen golf balls, because I'm going to lose them quite quickly, let's be honest. And I know that deep down the performance might not be much better than the Pro V1, if any better. However, there are people out there who drive nice cars, who wear very nice watches, who have the best of the best, and they don't want to be seen on the tee with Titleist Pro V1. They want to be seen with something that's a little bit different, and that's what these LA golf balls are. That's who I would imagine they're going to cater for. You've tried them, as we said, that video's coming this week. Can you give the audience, the podcast listeners, a little bit of an insight into these golf balls?
They
who are LA Golf?
LA Golf, really, they're known for making shafts, is their kind of big story. And very expensive high-end putters, the LA Golf putters, like £600, £700 a putter. They've looked at launching a golf ball. I've seen it being teased probably since Christmas time, probably Christmas last year, New Year time. I've seen them being teased and thought, they're just going to be another kind of nothing golf ball. I can't imagine they're going to do very well. Honestly, very impressed. I don't want to give too much away. The only thing I will sprinkle away is the claims on the box, which are often from brands, can be quite fabricated, are pretty truthful. So I think that's solid for any golf ball manufacturer. From the claims on the box, I found them to be fact, if not slightly better than fact.
And on the flip side of the coin, which you alluded to as well, we on Friday played a golf course that value for money wise, I hand on heart, do not think anywhere that I've been to, certainly in the UK, gets close to.
No, this is a golf course that's been kind of blowing up a little bit over social media. So Golf Digest. So there's an artist by the name of Joe. He's a UK guy. I believe he's a member Royal Liverpool. I've actually in the past bought a little bit of artwork off him. He's called Joe McDonald. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. And he does these really cool three-dimensional prints of golf courses. And you can have it framed, and it looks like a 3D picture, but it's not. It's flat. And a couple of weeks ago, he went over to this golf course called Dunstanborough Castle Golf Club in Northumberland. And he posted that this is the best value golf course in the world. And it blew up all over social media, because the pictures and the video clips that you see, you can't argue. It looks like King's Barnes.
Yes.
But in Northumberland.
And on a weekday, I think it's £28. On a weekend, it's £31 for a visitor.
You heard that correctly. £28 in the week, £31 at the weekend.
Yes.
And so we thought, you know what? Well, strike while the iron's hot, before the green fees triple or quadruple, which we've been told by the owner and used to be head greenkeeper, Stu, that that's not the case. They're going to stick with that green fee. We drove all the way over there, 3.5 hours, and we played the golf course. And the weather was horrendous the night before.
Yeah.
There was puddles everywhere.
Yeah.
But even with all that happening, I don't want to give it again too much away.
We can give a bit away the course, but not maybe how we played. Because it
was one of the most spectacular golf courses I've ever played.
Yeah.
Like, for £28. And it's possibly the first time I paid for a green fee in maybe 11 years. So I actually paid the £28 green fee. Because I just thought, you know, well, not just because I thought, because they made me.
They demanded
it. No, I felt like, you know, it was part of obviously the story.
Well, I think as well, yeah, obviously, jokes aside, we're very fortunate. I only really play golf now when we're filming videos. And obviously you play golf really only when we're filming videos. So luckily, and I think most people know, obviously you're a PGA pro, so you don't really have to pay to play a green fee anywhere. And certainly when we're filming, golf courses often want us to go. And obviously I'm fortunate that I don't pay either when we're playing for video. So you do sometimes forget, and it sounds ridiculous, but what it's like to pay. And also when you do pay for something, whatever that thing might be, you want it to be good value, obviously, don't you?
I think you're a little bit more critical almost.
And as you should be. If you've
paid. I was almost looking for faults.
Yeah.
I was like, something's going to be wrong here. Because it was honestly, for £28, could be played in the midweek, which is still £31 at weekend, doesn't make a difference. But it honestly, I was taken away. And Matt, who was out on the shoot with us, he did some drone footage afterwards and he sent it to us as we were driving back home. Absolutely outstanding. I actually sent it to Stu, the owner, and he was like, oh my, they're like the best picture I've ever seen. Honestly, they're absolutely spectacular.
It was incredible. And actually, the video itself, which will come out in probably a couple of weeks, will show a lot more of the golf course and how we played. And realistically, though, there weren't many cons. The only con you could say, it's not the golf course's fault, it is kind of in the middle of nowhere for a lot of people. But if you're ever going up that neck of the woods...
But I do think there's some really nice courses near
exactly.
it.
Exactly, so you could go up to Newcastle and kind of make your way up there. But again, going back to that golf ball, I think there is a place for things in golf being expensive. And that doesn't mean that I want everything in golf to be expensive. Obviously not. I want golf to be accessible and people can go to Sports Direct and buy a cheap driver and go and try golf. But anywhere where there's a business, there's going to be people who have different points kind of in the market. So again, with cars, you can go out and buy a secondhand old Ford Fiesta for £500, or you can go and buy a Bugatti Veyron for $4 million. There's different price points.
It's a bit like even me getting back into football. Like, I've gone out, luckily I had some boots that I had from back in the day.
Yeah.
So, but they would have cost me probably £90 at the time. Spent fortune on a football shirt, shorts and socks now. So I've spent way too much just to get back into football, but you don't have to do that.
You go in your golf shoes like I did.
Like, you
and rip your feet to shreds.
Like, sports, pretty much every sport does have different entry level points. I would agree golf is possibly the one that has the entry level at the probably highest price point.
Yeah.
Because you do need some level of equipment and you do need some level of clothing, etc. But you can still go down to a driving range and actually just hire clubs and get a bucket of balls and whack them away.
But I think what I would say as well, though, and we've proved this in many different tests, is that realistically, with golf clubs in particular, it's not always a case, or balls, that the more you pay, the much more benefit you get in performance. So for example, a £100 driver versus a £500 driver, yes, there'll be some difference, but not five times the price difference. But with golf courses, you can get some that are very expensive because of the name. But typically, I think it's fair to say, if you get a very, very, very cheap green fee somewhere, certainly in the UK and in the winter, the condition of that golf course won't be anywhere near as good as an expensive links course. That's just a fact, isn't it? But I think this golf course, Dunstanborough, kind of proved that actually there's a very, very, very reasonable price green fee, but you weren't then getting a okay golf course. You were getting, I mean... Genuinely now, those parts on that golf course, there were some holes where I was thinking, this is quite literally, you won't get many holes in the world better. That par four, was it 11 maybe?
Was it the dead straight one?
Dead straight one.
Yes, that was.
It was 11 or 10.
13 was the par three. So 13,
it was
12, 11, 10.
Yeah, 10. That hole, honest to God, could be anywhere on the planet. And if you were on Turnberry or anywhere and that was your next hole that you arrived on, it would not look out of place.
No, it would look at, like, say, Kings Barnes is one of my favourite golf courses in the world. Trump International in Aberdeen is one of my favourite golf courses in the world. That hole and a stretch of them, four or five in that corner, you're right, could have easily just slotted into those two venues.
I think just on that as well, the clubhouse from the outside, and I won't be around the bush, didn't look much. It was quite small. I'm not sure what this is going to be like. We went in. It was small, but it was really nice inside. They had great staff. There was a great selection of food that was right up my street. We're talking lasagnas, chicken burgers, chip balms, you name it. Even like little things, like they had a nice, it sounds silly this, but they had like a really nice toilet, they had like a nice changing room that was getting done up and stuff. And you think, you could go there, the group of mates, and have an absolute time. And for me, there's nothing better than going to a golf club and forgetting the course for a moment, but the actual club and the clubhouse, and feeling like that it's nice to, I'd hate nothing more than a really stuck up clubhouse where you're not sure what you can do. And that's, I don't like that personally. There's some places you go to, very historic links courses, maybe open venues, where you kind of expect a bit of that, and it's kind of part of the tradition to a degree, and it's, I can tolerate it occasionally, but there's nothing better than that. Like, for me anyway.
Yeah, it was very, they were very, very welcoming. But even like, you know, obviously we had a wonderful experience at Muirfield this year.
Yes.
Like, that is very, very prestigious. You have to wear a suit. And but also on the flip side, it didn't feel stuffy.
No.
I know we mentioned on the podcast, it was actually really quite chilled and relaxed, and it felt welcoming just in a different way.
Yeah.
Like Dunsterborough. Near enough?
Well, it's Dunstan, so it's
Dunstanborough.
Yeah, or Borough.
Dunstanborough.
Yeah.
Castle Golf Club. Kind of had that really welcome, warming, like, toasty vibe. Like, even like when I think of it now, I almost warm up inside. Yeah. Like, and like you said, but it was much more chilled. It was, you know, it didn't feel like you had to, you didn't have to wear anything different, and you could just relax. And
but you know, it was really interesting. And I mentioned this to you kind of off the podcast just last week, genuinely, hand on heart, and it's going to sound really sad, and some people listening and watching will probably laugh at me, but I'm not good at football, as I've said already. I'm not good at all. I didn't really have the right stuff to wear. I've got a football shirt. I didn't have boots. I've got some on order. I've not even got shin pads. I was genuinely quite nervous about football last week because I'm not good. I know most lads here are good or certainly better than me. So going to play football, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't like petrified, but I was a bit like, oh, I'm a bit nervous for this. Obviously, when I go play golf, I'm very, very rarely nervous about, maybe it's about how I play, but not about the actual going to play. Because I've been to that many golf courses, I know how to walk around a golf club, I know the rules, know the etiquette, I know what to expect, I know that in reality, I'm not going to embarrass myself too much. But going to another sport and feeling that little bit of nerves makes me realise again how much people will feel like going to play golf. Like, if you've not played golf before, or only once or twice 10 years ago, and a friend says to you, do you want to go to the driving range? Well, that's quite easy. But most driving ranges are fun, and there's no, you know, you don't feel too intimidated, I wouldn't imagine. But going to a golf course can feel
I almost don't know how you'd eradicate that. Because even, let's say, joking aside, it's fresh in our memory, so we're talking about it quite a bit. But when we did do football last week and we arrived at the venue, it's like we didn't quite know what we were doing. We didn't know, you know, she said that you're on pitch number two. When we got to pitch number two, there were some young lads there, and we were like, well, is it us? Is it not us? We got told that we could come on early, and they're on our football pitch. Are we allowed to kick them off? We're not.
We did
kick them off. No, I think they were just messing about. But like, I don't know if any capacity you could almost make it seamless, where it's almost like there's no level of question marks around it. And you're right, probably golf is even more like, let's say you get to a golf course and you have a tee time for 11:10. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you arrive there at 10:30 at 11:10. Sorry, 10:10.
Yeah.
Okay. And you arrive there at 10:30, you go to the driving range, maybe grab a butty or whatever. Get to the first team, there's like three or four groups, but you don't know, well, it's 11:05 now. Is it me up next? Is it not me up next? Like, you don't always really know, do you? You know?
No, but I think you're right. But I think a lot of that can come from a good pro, because obviously you should always really check into the pro shop before you play. If you get to have pros, hiya guys, have you been here before? No. Okay, great. Let me show you the first tee. You're out next. Or these guys, these members are out first. Like, I think that good experience can help. But equally, if that was a bad experience, if you're already nervous about going to a golf club and you get treated by a pro or a member of staff who's not super welcoming, that could only imagine that could add to the nerves.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting because you almost do have to put yourself, we've lived in golf. We've talked about this a lot on the podcast. Mm. We both started playing golf retrospectively when we were about, I was 11. You were a bit younger,
seven,
weren't you?
Seven, eight.
But we've kind of grown up knowing what the etiquette is. Like you say, sometimes when you put yourself in a different sport, and I've joked again on this podcast, I've tried a million different sports over the last few years, but you put yourself in that position, you're like, what do I do? Yeah. Like, this is different. But you kind of learn it and figure it out pretty quickly. I'm suppose that's what people in golf have to do. It's just like you say, as little barriers as possible is the key.
Yes, this podcast today, it's a bit of a sandwich. Not, is it even a sandwich? No, it's not a sandwich, really. It's more of a 50-50.
Well, I'm thinking that might actually go separate now.
Okay.
So let's keep rolling.
Oh, okay. Well, first things first, people who are regular listeners on Tuesday morning may have been blindsided by a little Friday treat we had. So on Friday, if you listen to it, you'll know what we're talking about. If not, let us fill you in. On Friday, a podcast went live where Rick sat down with the guys from How Ridiculous, who are genuinely one of the biggest YouTube channels in the world, coming out of Australia, do some crazy cool videos. But one thing they have done, which they spoke about on the podcast, they have filmed with your friend and mine, Eldrick Tont, Tiger Woods.
Your friend and mine.
He's my friend.
Yeah. So the guys from How Ridiculous, you know, hopefully you enjoyed that podcast. It was a little bit different in the sense that obviously they're not a golf channel, but they love golf. They really do. But their channel in its own right, 19.6 million subscribers, I believe they've got. Some of the videos they've got on there have got billions of views.
Did they laugh at your channel?
Yeah, it's like I was like, normally when I bring YouTube channels into here, I'm quite proud of our space.
Yes, you know, I'm kind of like,
you know, swag around. This is our editing studio. This is you can touch it if you want. This is the million plaque.
Oh, that whole thing with dust on.
This is the million plaque, and this is our podcast studio. But genuinely, I was quite nervous about them coming in because I was thinking they were mad. But actually, they were blown away by our setup. Like, yeah. I feel like, you know, our professionalism of how we edit and how we go through things, they were like, whoa. Not taken aback that, like, it doesn't show it on the channel. As in, like, they were very, very impressed of our setup and how we do things. And it was their first ever podcast. They'd never done a podcast before. And like I say, for me personally, I've genuinely been a massive fan of their channel for years.
Well, that is true, because you showed me them.
I've always wanted to do some sort of collaboration with them, and we got an email out of the blue. I've always been in little chats on Instagram, etc., and out of blue they sent me a message saying, we're coming over to the UK, we've got this wild idea that we'd love you to be involved in. I'm like, okay. Basically, there's a company over here in the UK, where I think, was it Leeds Way or Huddersfield Way?
I think rings a bell.
They send inanimate objects up to space, like quite literally attach them to these massive balloons.
Yeah.
And dangling from the balloons, they have like this setup where they have all these GoPro cameras around said object. So it might be a football boot that someone's launching. How much if this become a football podcast or what?
It plays five aside once.
It might be, you know, a couple of wedding rings that people want to send up to space and then come back down or whatever. But How Ridiculous had this idea of sending up three golf balls up to space, and they did. So they went all the way up to space, all the way up, however many feet. Miles, light years, if that's how they measure things up in space. And all the video was captured where you've got these literally three golf balls, they had three Callaway golf balls all on tees, and they had these, the video is perfect. You can see the outline of the globe. It's absolutely amazing. And then once it gets to a certain point, the balloons pop and said objects come straight back down to Earth, okay? And they roughly know where the objects are going to land, within some sort of a radius, right? And they always try and land it in some sort of safe place, whether it's a farmer's field or whatever it may be. And we were trying to land it near a golf course. This is their video idea. And you see the cameras are rolling all the time. And we had these navigation coordinates to where these golf balls were going to land. We're following them around. It's like dead exciting, like looking up to the sky, where are these golf balls going to land? It was a really nice sunny day, actually, back in September. So we're flying down there, we're chasing them after, and we realise that the balls have landed, okay? Mm-hmm. They've come back onto planet Earth after being all the way up in space. They're back on planet Earth. And we're searching around and we find them, and we're near these massive open fields, near this golf course, massive open fields, right? These bloody golf balls end up in a tree. Like, quite literally, in a pig farm.
Like my golf balls.
Yeah, in a pig farm, in a tree. So they had to talk to the guys from the pig farm. It was like this biochemical pig farm. It was a bit weird. And we got in, and they actually allowed us to go up in like a forklift truck to pull the golf balls back down again. We took a free drop into like nearer to a golf course, and we played from there. It was a bit mad, really, a bit of a crazy idea. And the video's gone out, and it's such a good video. Like, from sometimes what's funny, like when obviously we're out shooting a video, a lot of sometimes when you're out shooting a video, you're thinking, is this good? Has it got the right atmosphere? Is the lighting good? Is this the good video? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't really know. And many times you and I have left shoots and gone, I'm not sure if that was our best video, I'm not sure if that was great, or this, that, and the other. And then the wonderful editing team, you know, work their magic on it, make it dramatic, add a bit of music, change the colouring, whatever it may be, make me look slimmer and taller.
You can polish a turd, is what we're saying here.
And obviously the final product is normally pretty special, pretty good. I was on that How Ridiculous shoot and thinking to myself, how the hell are they going to turn this into a video? Because it was a really, really, really long day. We're chasing these bloody golf balls around. We're speaking to different golf courses and all this. And all this was filmed.
Yeah.
And it just got condensed to like a 15-minute video that was like really,
so snappy, the
really, really good. But honestly, if you knew Matt was on shoot, if you'd have known all that went into that shoot, it was madness. It was like one of the most challenging, complex shoots I've ever been on. And the fact they actually got of it, it wouldn't surprise me if they rang me one day and said, Rick, I'm really sorry, mate. The space video didn't quite work out.
Yeah.
And you know, they scrapped it. But to turn the video into that, it was special. So it was really cool. I'm hoping to do something again with them in the future. You know, I'd love to plan an Australia trip at some point and go meet up with those guys. But it was really interesting chatting to those the guys from How Ridiculous, because they've really only got themselves to speak to, because a lot of big YouTube channels are in America or the UK. Mm. And the same where they live in Australia, was it Perth?
I think it was, yeah.
Where they live in Australia, there's just no other like big YouTube channels around. So they can't just, you know, chat and chat YouTube and chat shop with people, where you, me and those guys were in the hit studio a few hours just chatting YouTube for ages, which was fascinating. So yeah, I'm glad everyone enjoyed that. And then this Friday, as Gary mentioned before, we were actually going to tag on to the end of this podcast today, an interview or a casual chat that I had with Seb, who was on the last Break 75 video in Germany. Once we're in Germany, we actually got some time at the Mercedes-Benz Museum, and we sat down. We actually just chatted about golf and this year, because me and Seb have had some crazy adventures this year. Basically, we sat down through that. So that's actually going to go as a shorter podcast, maybe like a 30-minute podcast, going to go out on Friday.
So if you are not subscribed to the channel, YouTube channel, Rick Shields Golf Show, or the podcast on your favorite device, favorite platform, whether it be Apple or Spotify or Google, whatever, make sure you are subscribed.
Or YouTube now,
because these little Friday specials just get chucked out there willy-nilly. And if you want to stay in that clubhouse, that magical place, and that real... There's something... If you're in the clubhouse, you've achieved something in your life, but you have to stay in the clubhouse. You can't just be in it and then be out of it. So you have to listen to every single episode.
It's a way of life.
It is a way. It's a vibe. It's a mindset. And, you know, when this merch lands very soon, you want to be the clubhouse person. We're rocking clubhouse merch. We can't stop you buying it if you're not in the clubhouse, but could you live with yourself having a clubhouse head cover if you weren't actually in the clubhouse?
No,
I couldn't.
But if people want to buy it and they're not, that's fine.
Yeah, that's also fine. Buy two, buy three.
Also, a little sneaky for you guys on the podcast, okay? You might spot a little bit of merch in the...
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dunstan Borough Castle, yes. Golf Club video. Just let you know. Just keep an eagle eye out. You might spot a few bits.
Is it a coincidence that I was using some of the new, soon-to-be-released Rick Shields merch and I played all my best rounds in a long time?
I think it was your best round ever, was it?
I was up there. Genuinely was up there. My putter was on fire and I used a putter head cover. Oof. That's a bit weird. That weird. I used a Rick Shields head cover and my putting was really good.
Coincidence?
Me thinks not. I also had a Rick Shields towel and, you
Catch
know.
Clubs. Ridiculously clean.
Chipping in left, right and centre.
Left, right and centre.
Yeah, well, all centre actually, but I don't want to brag. But no, keep your eyes on that. That's coming very, very soon.
And then the actual...
I'm not talking weird about merch.
The Break 75 in Germany was actually really good. Again, that was a weird video because the mist of that morning, we didn't think we were going to be able to film that morning and it the mist lifted. I made a double bogey on the first.
Standard.
Which... a lot of people are like, here he is.
Yeah,
he's back.
He's here, yeah.
His golf game.
The show. The circus is in town. You went to a circus over there, didn't you?
I did. I went double bogey for the first three. So I was 4 over through 3.
Nice.
Standard. But then the grit, the determination came out and the dog inside me kept growling.
The chihuahua.
So that video went out, played very well, played solid. Seb played really, really well. Shot under par. It's funny though. Seb got a lot of criticism about his golf swing.
Mm.
And it's interesting how people kind of see golf swing techniques, etc. Because Seb is a very, very, very good player. His short game is ridiculous. And he doesn't hit it far, his own account. He's not the tallest person in the world. And he kind of just gets it out there, but always puts it in play. But the criticism of his technique was crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of nasty people out there.
You know what? I don't want to defend those people because it's ridiculous. Leaving negative comments on a YouTube video in itself is a bit over the top. But I think there is something about someone that's good at a sport that doesn't do it in the most textbook way. It can either be loved or hated, if that makes sense. And Seb is a great kind of 2-handicap golfer, gets out there, getting very good, like you said, around the green. So fair play. But like, when I see a PGA Tour player or a major champion who doesn't swing it orthodoxly... is that the right word, orthodox? So yeah. For some reason, I don't like it. I was never a fan of Bubba.
Because, really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. He was lefty, which I'm not always a huge fan of for some reason. Sorry, lefties. I don't know what it is. Weirdly, I do like left-footed footballers. But anyway, I don't know. But yeah, his swing was so unorthodox. His shape was so unorthodox. I didn't really like it.
Jim Furyk?
Again, not really liking it.
Matt Wolf?
Not liking it. I'm very much in the camp of I love Tiger. I love Adam Scott. Rory, where it looks so, so good. But, yeah, I don't know. Are you on the same page or not?
I don't know. For me, often, where I get a little bit unstuck with the tour pros swinging like that is mad respect for those guys not becoming convinced to change the swing
yes.
and the technique. Like, surely, along those times and periods, like Bubba Watson, Bubba's... famously never had a golf lesson. And you look at Bubba and he's rise up to stardom. And imagine him being like a 16, 17-year-old kid and he's like the new up-and-coming talent. And you're surprised that he doesn't come to any pressure of a golf coach or somebody going, oh, no, you need to change all this. This is never going to work out on tour. You're never going to win a major swinging like that. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But how can they almost blank that out? Similar to like Jim Furyk. Matt Wolf obviously does actually... use a golf, George Gankus, and almost that's to some degree the exaggerated version of Matt Wolf's swing is something that George actually is a big fan of. But it's surprising that not more. I mean, Matt Wolf has reported, you know, very famously this year, not performed on LIV, and Brooks Koepka's on Brooks Koepka's team, and Brooks Koepka wants him out, and all the, you know, there's obviously a fallout there. But I wonder how much of it does play on your mind when you've not got the most orthodox swing, when it's not going well. Like, what do you change? Like, what, do you know, it's very difficult. There must be times where Bubba Watson or Jim Furyk or, you know, all these guys who've had more unorthodox swings are going, it's not working. I need to almost change everything. But they never have they?
Well, that's the thing. And I think if you always separate the two, like you said, the story of it and the background versus the actual look of it, like you said, you've got to respect those guys that they have got these crazy swings, but yet they've done so well. But to watch it, I'm not always a fan. But I also think, and again, you'll know more about this than me, but with the evolution of obviously TrackMan and GC Quad and the way pros are actually teaching now, and it's been so much more about actually delivery of the golf club rather than how it looks in a camera, we're seeing more what we'd class as weird swings. And I was just thinking then, I'd had to Google his name, the guy that won the British Amateur or the Amateur Championship this year, Christo Lamprecht, he had a really bad kind of big dip, a tall guy, really dipped into it, but smashes it miles. And I don't know how he'll go on in his career. He did well at the start of the first couple of days in the Open and then fell away. But he won the Amateur Championship, an elite, elite, elite golfer with a swing that you wouldn't think he should have almost.
I definitely think with the introduction, but this is where, again, going back to like Jim Furyk and Bubba Watson, those guys, you know what's quite interesting when you look at the timeline of golf coaching over the years? Even when I very, very first started coaching, probably about 15 years ago now, video analysis wasn't a big thing.
No.
It wasn't super popular. It was quite hard to find a golf coach with video analysis. Launch monitors were a thing of the future. Like that wasn't even like on people's radar yet.
Pardon the pun.
And then so everything pre video camera, I can imagine swings being quite funky and a bit different, like you say, because who's going to show them otherwise? And one of the main reasons why I got video camera when I first coached, I was coaching this guy who had this tremendously long backswing, like stupidly long, and he did really need to fix it. And he just wouldn't believe me that it was long. And I had to hire a video camera to video him, to show him his swing was that long. And he almost didn't believe me. He couldn't believe that it was that long. And video analysis was so useful to be able to show people, right, this is what you feel you're doing, but this is the reality. Let's see if we can make some changes here. But always focusing on result, not just to make the swing look pretty, always focusing on results. But so pre-video cameras, I can imagine where there was a few funky swings, like a Jim Furyk, etc. But like through Bubba Watson's era, he would have been definitely grown up in the era of video cameras, but he still continues to swing the way he was. And then it's been a very short window, really. And then launch monitors have become so, so big, it's almost made video cameras obsolete. Like, there's not many guys, well, there still will be, obviously, but you go on a driving range now at a tour venue, what's almost every single golfer along the line got, they've either got a GC Quad, a TrackMan, etc., and they're always looking at launch monitor data, and they're always looking at delivery or whatever it may be, numbers, launch angle, spin rates, distance, etc., feeling those numbers, whatever it may be. Certainly in a tournament, you don't see that many people behind with a camera. No, obviously, it's all on phone now.
It's just morphed to, yeah.
It's almost more to double check it really on camera now, or they kind of post it on social media. But it goes back to this kind of idea that impact is the most important factor.
Correct.
Like how that club hits the ball. It doesn't know how it went up. It doesn't know how it came down. Impact is the key. And even Seb mentioned, I think he replied to a couple of people, he's had a back injury, which also prevents him from turning and rotating the way that he would be more desirable. But all in all, I think technique, all that matters is how that ball flies to the hole.
Correct. But those comments, though, of people are giving him a hard time, which is, again, ridiculous. It comes from a level of jealousy because people might believe their golf swing is better looking than Seb. And it might be, you know, in terms of visually. But the fact that Seb, who doesn't hit a long way, he's shooting these really good scores and he's such a good golfer, I think it might rub some people up the wrong way, which is a bit pathetic. But anyway, we have had lots and lots of questions on the Facebook group. I think over the weekend, people who are in the Facebook group, to me, the family.
Yeah.
They're not just friends anymore. There's 100,000 people now who I class as family. I used to class them as acquaintances. Then it kind of stepped up to friends. And the more I think about it, I think, what would I do without 100,000 people? They mean the world to me. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So we've also found a new function on the group as well. We can kind of get out there a bit more and speak to you guys a bit more. So we want to get your questions as much as we can. We want to answer as many as we can. And today we'll do just that. So
quick fire ones or long ones?
You fire them however length the fire deserves. Okay. The first one from William McCall. And it's a question I've seen a million times. But the question itself had 43 likes, and it's quite fitting with what you've spoken about before with the How Ridiculous guys. Do you ever plan on coming to Australia, Rick?
Wow.
Not even to tell that. So he basically said, do you ever plan on coming to Australia? But I thought for dramatic effect, I'd really emphasise the ever. Do you ever plan on coming to Australia?
And what's he called?
William McCall.
William, if you go back far enough, and then you're a Clubhouse member, so I'm sure you've gone back into every single back archived video of nearly 2,200 videos on the channel. Because back in 2014, I did go over to Australia.
You were 15, 9 years, 2015. Why not?
2015 it was. Was it 15 or 14? 15. And went over to Australia. No, it was 2014, sorry. Or 15.
It doesn't matter. William sat there at home with a notebook going, well, I need to know the answer to this. Was it 14 or 15, Christ's sake?
Went over to, had a bit of a family trip over to Sydney and Brisbane, did a few other places as well. Took the video camera gear back in the day. Hard, I always remember this, right? It was back in the day where, obviously, I was filming most of it myself back in like 14, 15.
Was it 14 or 15? Can we put this out? doesn't matter, I was joking, doesn't matter.
I was born in 14 and we went when she was 6 months old, so it was March 2015.
Thanks.
Cleared that up.
Got that.
Was she born? Yeah. So... pretty sure that's right.
Right, we'll call it 2015, William.
I think it was.
Yeah.
So I had this bag, this like duffel bag, that was the heaviest duffel bag in the world. Because I had all my cameras in there, tripods, everything else that I carried at the time. And it's hand luggage, tried to get that on the plane, everything. We got it on the plane. Anyway, I did film in Australia. I filmed in Sydney. I played at New South Wales with Scott Arnold. Oops. If you look at that video back in the day, it's one of the main reasons that video was why I didn't get my legs out on camera for about 4 years, 5 years after.
Why?
Because everyone was saying they were like out of bounds posts. And I wore these green checkered shorts. They were awful. I know. And I played in New South Wales with Scott Arnold, who was the number one amateurs in the world back in the day. Filmed a few other places in Brisbane with Golf Reviewer, his name was back in the day.
What is that? Aussie Golf Review.
Oh, it was Brisbane Golf Review at the first. So I did a bit of filming there, and then also filmed at a magnificent place called Hamilton Island, which was one of the best golf courses I've played in my life. So I have been, but yeah, to answer your question, William.
Yeah, to answer the question.
Soon.
Yeah, okay, soon.
Within the next 3 years.
Yeah, okay, great. So we've had a good one that comes onto topic a little bit of this LA golf ball we mentioned at the start of the episode from Anthony Vitozzi, I think it is. It's quite a cool surname. I think that's how you say it. Can I get your opinions on golf ball fittings? Do you think it's worth it?
I think you can fit yourself a lot of time for golf balls. So for me, golf ball testing needs to happen around the green to start things off. Do you like putting with the golf ball? Do you like chipping with it? When you chip with it, do you see the right type of spin when it lands? And then from that, yes, you can get onto a launch monitor. I know Bridgestone back in the day used to do a really in-depth ball fitting. I'm not sure if they do, and Titleist still do, where you'll hit that particular golf ball off with a launch monitor into a hitting net, so obviously you don't lose the golf balls. And it'll tell you which spin characteristics is more suited to your ball speed and your clubhead speed, etc. But yeah, I do think balls fitting is important, but I don't think it's the most important fitting out of all the fittings. I would possibly put it as, I'd go driver, putter, irons. Wedges, irons, balls.
You'd put irons at the bottom?
Yeah.
Wow. That's very controversial.
Okay. Well, how high would you put them?
Irons number one.
Wow. More than driver?
Yeah. Because think about your irons. You use them so much. I had a set of irons once that were 2 degrees upright and I needed standard. The amount of shots I hit left or right was... But... And also, I always think as well, at what point do we determine a fitting? And what I mean by that is, if it takes the extreme, imagine if you had a novice golfer that never played golf and you gave them the tiniest, smallest blades ever. They'd be so much harder to hit than a big chunky cavity, but...
Right, I'll swap it around then. I'll move it up one place.
Okay, that's fine.
Driver, putters, irons, wedges, ball.
Okay, cool. Question for me, what do you want for your lunch? Because I'm going to order it now. You know, baked potato.
Yeah, beans, baked potato, please.
Jack, do you want cheese as well?
No, tuna.
Tuna. Tuna. With cheese.
Yeah.
Tuna. This is good content. So you're having a tuna, cheese.
Jacket potato, please.
Jacket. And beans, cheese, jacket. Do you want anything, Matt? You can keep the show going, Rick, while I do this.
I've not got the questions in front of me.
Sing. Tuna panini. How do you spell panini? There we go. Tuna. Okay, next question. That was my question, Rick. You answered it very well. From Jimmy Alexander, what's your funniest story when giving a golf lesson?
Oh, funniest. Christ. I think I remember one that was hilarious. I actually saved it as a clip, and I feel really bad for the guy, but I did show it to a lot of people. I never aired it online. So when I was at Trafford Golf Centre, we used to have a video analysis, so you could obviously record people's swings, and you know, you could save them onto a big server, and then next time they come into a lesson, you can see the difference between before and after. And pretty much every golf swing in a lesson was recorded. And this guy, bless him, he's fairly new to golf, and I was saying, right, we need to work on X, Y, and Z. Do a couple of practice swings near the ball. Not at the ball, but just near it, okay? So he did a couple of practice swings. And then before you know it, his third practice swing, he pretty much out the toe flushed this iron, right?
Yeah.
But very, very, very much from the toe. And in the old teaching bay back at Trafford, we used to have this metal shutter that used to go around the teaching bay. And he hit the right post of that shutter, okay? He's absolutely pelted at this right post. Everyone around the academy's like ducked and everything else. And then before you know it, it's hit that and then ricocheted straight back towards his...
gentleman's agreement.
Gentleman's area. And it floored him. And I mean floored him. He hit the ground like a sack of spuds and he was out... the count for at least 5 minutes. So I had that video saved on my profile, and I probably showed every other lesson. Do you want to see the video of the guy getting it by
getting the spots? Wow.
Someone's coming in going, Rick, I've had a really bad, week. Let me show you something that'll make you laugh.
In so, this day and age, that'll be against the GDPR, probably. Back in the day. You know, one of the things I still think was brilliant, and it's not about to say brilliant, it was really funny. It wasn't brilliant for the people, but a couple of years ago, when we were filming at the Marriott, and there's a camera on you, and there's a dad and son in a buggy. One was in a buggy, and one was walking in front of the buggy, and they both looked to see you filming. Obviously, must have watched the videos, and both in awe. The dad stopped, and the son ran over him in a buggy.
Yeah, we've got that clip online. And we actually asked for permission to use that.
That could have been serious, that. Thankfully, it wasn't.
It's like flattened him.
He really did.
That was really funny. Funny story, and I think you were present. Do you remember the time at Archfield when Nike was releasing the last line of drivers?
Yes.
And you were there, definitely. And me, Pete, got invited up there, and it was the first hits of the Nike drivers. Like, almost nobody in the planet, but maybe Tiger and Rory, hit these drivers, right? And we're hitting a few and warming up, and Pete goes, go on, let me hit one. And his very, very first shot with the blue Nike driver that had the kind of battery in the back,
yeah,
he skied it. It hit the shutter roof in the Archfield teaching bay, and it left a big massive ball mark on top of this new brand new Nike driver.
Oh my days.
That was really funny.
You know what that got me thinking of then, about how good golfer can still hit horrendous shots? I saw a tweet yesterday, and I can't for the life of me remember who it was from, which is annoying because I should have saved it for this podcast, but it was basically on the lines of golfers who are like mid-single figures, so like let's just say 7 to 9, are almost in the most bizarre spot where they can have a round close to level par, but they can equally have a round in the early 90s. And it got me thinking that it's actually really true. Like, I feel like that's me. That I could literally go out and shoot a score that's not far off par, not very often, admittedly, but then could easily have a shocker in the mid-80s. It's such a weird place to be, isn't it?
Yeah, and people expect a lot of you.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. I don't know. I wish I'd say, I'll find the tweet maybe for another time. But one more question I've got for you. It's from a great name, and I hope it's a genuine name. Clement Joseph Biocomin, I think it is, or Bocomin or something. But either way, it's a good name. I enjoy the podcast, which is a great start to the message.
But.
And I know you and Rick are fans of technology, but are the top tracer distances truly accurate? The driving range I go to occasionally has it. I thought he meant he occasionally has top tracer, but I think he means the driving range he occasionally goes to has top tracer. And I'm not sure if I believe the distances. So first things on that, you are a top tracer ambassador. We love the technology, hence why you became an ambassador. Hit me.
It's very live to the situation you're hitting in.
Yes.
So if it's windy, if it's into wind, top tracer will show that the ball's not gone as far. Like, and if it's cold, the ball won't go as far. for me, all testing I've done with TopTracer, I found it to be really, really accurate to the live data right there and then.
Well, that's it. And I think as well on that, and I'm a culprit of this, I think most golfers are. I think we often think we hit it further than we do. But also the golf balls you use aren't always quite as good as maybe a Pro V1 or something. So if it doesn't seem quite as far, that might be why. But from when I've used them, they're very, very accurate.
I would more question the circumstances more than the actual TopTracer. Mm. I would question the golf ball more than I would question TopTracer.
Well, I have been known occasionally, and I'm having a little go on longest drive at TopTracer to put a sneaky Pro V1 down.
And it tracks it further, doesn't it?
It does definitely track
because
it further.
Because it's tracking that ball.
Exactly.
If you went to a driving range with every golf ball was premium, the numbers would be perfect.
You'd like to think it's not this clear cut, but the driving ranges that are forward thinking and have invested in technology like a TopTracer are also the kind of driving ranges that like to regularly or as regularly as they can swap the golf balls.
But sometimes driving range is restricted to how far golf balls, like they have to have 90% golf balls because of surrounding areas or they've not got enough land. Like Prairie, where I used to coach, used to have the yellow one-piece golf balls and they were never going to fly as far.
I think there is a way though in the top, there's a software that can kind of
calibrate
it.
Pre-done.
Yeah, I think so. Right. So that if they know they've got 90% ball, it will kind of account for that. Yeah. So you might see it pitch at the 50-yard mark, for example, but it might actually say 60-yard because it's kind of counting that as being a real ball.
Yeah, I genuinely know question marks around any technology, but I 100% believe that TopTracer tracking system is tracking the ball, that ball live in that environment, windy, cold, whatever it may be. And therefore, that actual shot was very, very accurate.
Well, we've actually got a video we're going to be filming very soon, which might touch on some of this stuff.
Definitely touch on it.
Definitely does.
Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Mm.
Were you going to say something else?
All I was going to say was, before I said about how we very much value the people who are in the Facebook group, and that goes out saying, the people who will leave us a review on Apple and Spotify, certainly Apple, they are the best of the best. So if you'd like to be considered as the best of the best, please leave us a review on Apple. 4 or 5 star, ideally.
5 only, really.
We can tolerate 4. 3's where I find a bit odd, because 3's a bit like it, but don't. I'd rather a 0 star or 5.
Let me read one of the latest podcast reviews.
Oh no.
Live here on the Rich Shields Golf Show podcast.
The absolute very latest one, just to see. Yeah. Maybe read 5 for me. Keep it.
Why do I need to go to even find them?
I've got them.
I want to read one.
Okay, go on, you can read one.
How'd you get into them?
Go on, podcasts.
Yeah.
This is a good learning tip. Go on the actual podcast. And then if you scroll down. Search for the Rich Shields Golf Show. Click on the logo that you see that comes up.
Yeah, I'm on.
Scroll down a bit and there should be ratings and can either rate it yourself.
Oh, wow, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my goodness. We've got nearly 3,000 ratings.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, don't worry, anyone. We've got enough.
We want more.
We've got literally more than enough. Right, Thursday. Let me vet them first.
No, they're all nice.
Easily the snowy, entertaining golf show. What does that mean? In the world, it's a must listen, like Top Gear in the 90s, but thankfully without Clarkson.
Wow.
they had Clarkson, we've got Jarnock. Easily, I want to read the actual headline there. Funny and informative, great for product news and general golf news. Oh, let me find a bad one.
Yeah, I couldn't find them on my laptop as well, the bad ones.
There isn't any.
Don't leave a bad one.
They're literally really positive. Yeah, thanks, everyone. That's really nice of you. It's considering we've had 2,409 ratings.
Mine says 2,904.
Is that not what I just said?
You said 2,409, didn't you?
Oh, 2,904.
Oh, right, yeah.
I read it wrong. Out of 5 star, we got 4.9. I'm happy with that. Thanks, everyone.
So do you want any more then? No, you're saying, oh, wow.
I think we're good. Because I think it can only go worse.
What about, hear me out. This is a big one. Hear me out.
I'm hearing you.
Hear me out. Go on to Apple Podcasts, people. If you've not got Apple Podcasts, maybe borrow your partner's phone or a friend's phone. Leave us a 5-star review, okay? Screenshot that 5-star review, okay? So you've got, love the podcast, Rick's good, guy's brilliant, whatever you want to put. Well, I'm not putting words in your mouth. Send it then to Rick's Twitter or to me or to Instagram or to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast page. We will then collate those, okay? And we'll pick somebody to have a piece of merch exclusive, Rick. A piece of unreleased merch, absolutely exclusively shipped to them.
Wow.
Can we do that, please?
Yes.
So either email it to us, podcast@rickshields.com. Send it to Rick's Twitter, to my Twitter, to the podcast group. Wherever you want to send it, make sure it gets to us as evidence.
Our email's been funny recently.
But they'll be back at work.
Yeah.
And we will then pick somebody. We'll announce it next week. We will then, I was going to say hand deliver it. We won't hand deliver it. We'll post it to said person. Local. Unless they live local, within a 25-minute radius of Marriott Worthy Park. And we will, somebody will win it.
That's amazing, that. These are really
nice. I thought you the prize was amazing.
Love these comments.
Do you never check it?
No. I didn't know you could find it. Oh, no. These are really nice, everyone. Thank you. If I ever feel bad, this is what I'm going to read.
Rick's tonight sat on the couch at 11:30 eating a big thing of Haagen-Dazs, feeling sorry for himself. He goes, tell you what, look at the reviews. Next thing, he just breaks into his gym clothes, that's running down the road, putting a 10 miles in, feeling on top of the world, thanks to these comments.
Oh, these are honestly really
okay,
nice.
Well, let's stop looking at our own reviews. How often do you Google yourself?
Probably not enough.
You do search on YouTube, though.
Yeah, only because people are making nasty videos about me. Or good videos. I'm going to search myself now on YouTube, see what comes up.
And probably your own channel, I'd imagine.
But then if you go in search upload date.
But what? Why do you do that to yourself? Doesn't that if you do see a bad video, does it not make you feel bad?
No. It's pushed me harder. Gets that dog in me.
What would be the...
Pokes the bear.
What would be the worst thing you could see?
My nudes being leaked.
Yeah, that would. Yeah, they aren't great.
Nobody wants to see them. I only sent them to you, guys.
They would be bigger.
I didn't think you'd be forwarding it to everyone.
Yeah.
But a bit like Top Tracer, the weather affects
performance.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be rocking a 460cc head, and it's definitely not that. It's more like a 3-wood. You can use it, admittedly. It's fine.
Because it's more like a mini driver. Right, guys, thanks for listening. That was a weird ending. Thanks for listening. Hopefully, stay tuned. Lots more to come. I'll see you next week. Plenty of reviews. Oh, you've made my day,
everyone. A bit of
merch
for one lucky winner.
Peace.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.